Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the year 2006, scientists gazed into the heavens. A robotic space probe named Stardust was returning from a seven-year voyage, in hoping to discover what the dusts of heaven might reveal to them regarding the clues of the mysteries of life. But long before science became the final arbiter of all things, artists were busy gazing into the heavens, creating paintings of a different court, of a different day, a day of judgment, when Christ would return and reveal for all people the meanings of life. If you look at the paintings of the Last Judgment, you will find a common theme. The heavens are torn open as Christ descends on a throne, and the earth is breaking apart as the dead rise from their graves. And one other factor is fairly consistent. If you look closely at the face of the people, you will often see a look of discovery. They look as if they are becoming aware and awakened to see the deeper meaning of the world, of their Lord, and of the life as they once knew it. For the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the three parables Jesus told his disciples just a few days before he gave his life for us on the cross. All three deal with the same topic: Jesus' return at the end of time and what his disciples had to do before he returns. In summary, we are to eagerly await and watch so that we may be ready to greet our Savior with joy. In today's parable, Jesus gives us a vision of life, real life, eternal life. In that parable, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the end, and yet his words also speak about the beginning. In verse 34, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as he says to his faithful people, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But in verse 42, as Jesus speaks to those who do not know him, he doesn't say, "Inherit the punishment prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Instead, he says, "Depart to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels." Hell was never intended for beloved human creatures. No, from the very beginning, God's plan was always that humanity would live in eternal fellowship and blessedness with him. No one was ever predestined to hell. All who have ever lived were created to live with God and to rejoice with him in his creation. Those who go to hell go there by their own choosing. They have rejected Jesus, chosen other idols, idols of the heart, rather than listening to the message of God and his original design for all the people of Christ. This parable does speak about the consummation of all things, but that isn't the same as the end of the world. In this parable, Jesus doesn't speak of the world ending at all. Instead, Jesus invites us to discover the world as God intended it. God's original desire was for humanity to live in a relationship with him. And the day when Christ returns will be the day when God's dreams for his creation, his ultimate desire for you, finally and fully come true. People often misunderstand Christianity. It's easy even for God's people to think of Christianity as a way of escaping this world in order to live in heaven. And many think that all Christians are looking for an escape from this world's physical existence so that they can go on as disembodied souls to eternal life in heaven. But that isn't what we believe or what we confess. Every time we confess our faith in the words of the creeds, we speak of a resurrected body, and we declare our confidence in the life of the world to come. Jesus' mission was to bring all people into God's eternal kingdom. And although we had turned away from God, rejecting his design and falling into sin in the Garden of Eden, God the Father turned toward us. He never gave up on his plan. He held on to his original design for us and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sin and be our Savior in order to fulfill that plan. When we were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, our eternal life with God began. Although we don't experience it just yet, it's a certainty that there will be a new creation, and we will be raised to live in the world as God originally desired it to be. Until that time, we live as stewards. We care for this world as people who have discovered just what God intended creation to be. We trust in, live in, and we long for God's new creation. As Jesus speaks to his disciples about the end, notice how he opens their eyes, how God reigns in him. If you listen closely to the text, you discover all the fullness of God in Jesus. In verse 31, he appears first as the Son of Man, that figure we hear of in the book of Daniel, who has finished God's work and is seated on his throne. Then we go on to verse 32, and he appears as a shepherd with the nations as his flock, as he separates the sheep from the goats. Then in verse 34, the shepherd is now king, whose rule extends over all nations and for all time. But strangely, this king was hidden in the suffering of this world. He was hungry and thirsty. He was a stranger and naked and a prisoner. In just a few days, Jesus would be all of these as he is arrested, suffers, and dies. While some might feel this parable is all about Jesus out there somewhere, only to be revealed when he descends from heaven at the end of time, it actually tells us that Jesus is very close to us right now. He is the Lord of all nations. God the Father has chosen him to rule over all things. Though through Jesus, all things this side of heaven are leading us to the fulfillment of his desire to save all people. Though hard to believe and hard to trust, we can have confidence that no matter what happens to us here, Jesus is in control. In the midst of this pandemic and all the pain that is brought into our lives, Jesus is calling on us to trust and believe that it is a part of his plan to ultimately bring us to himself. He's not far from us. He is with us and shepherding us until that day when he returns to divide those who trust in him for righteousness from those who do not. On that day, he will give to us, his faithful people, what God desires for us, namely the gift of eternal life. Jesus has not left us on our own, but comes to us in his word and sacrament to assure us that our sins are forgiven and that nothing can snatch us from his hand. This parable ends Jesus' commentary on the end of the ages, which began in chapter 24. Throughout these discourses, Jesus describes things that are going to take place, some of which find their fulfillment shortly after his death and resurrection, such as the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Other things that he describes continue to be fulfilled during these times between his ascension and when he will return. We have seen and will continue to see nations rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There are famines and earthquakes. His disciples have been and will continue to be delivered up to tribulation, put to death, and hated by all the nations for his name's sake. And sadly, many have fallen away, even betrayed one another and hated one another. And then here in chapter 25, Jesus has declared in three parables the importance of waiting and watching for his return. But why? Why is it so important that we faithfully and intentionally look for his return? Well, first and foremost, Jesus strongly implies that if we fail to look for his return, there's a possibility that we might lose our faith and fall away from him. If Jesus isn't coming to judge the living and the dead, if I don't frame my life with this coming reality, I open myself to distractions and temptations because I don't really have to take things seriously. This side of heaven, we constantly live in spiritual danger. And not recognizing this, not realizing that we need Jesus each and every day, can make us complacent about our faith. And if we forget to look for Christ's return, we can forget what we've been given to do. All that we are and all that we have belongs to the Lord. We've all been entrusted with different gifts, abilities, and blessings. And these are to be used to glorify God, especially to further the gospel in such a way that more people come to faith. We are to have people and their salvation as a high priority because people and their salvation are God's first priority. And if the hope of Christ's return fades from our hearts, we can get discouraged and choose to simply pull back and survive, simply wait it out until I die. This may be a great danger we face in these times. The world can seem and be so dark in so many ways. There's no end to selfishness and evil. Put your hope in the political party or agenda, and you end up disappointed. Put your trust and meaning for life in any cause or program, whatever it may be, and it will leave you empty and unfulfilled. More than ever, we need to remember that our hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Paul refers to this when he writes in Philippians, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." But ultimately, the blessing of watching and waiting for the return of Jesus is the fact that it is Jesus for whose return we are longing. Even though the Lord is with us, there is a very real sense that he is not with us. That is, not fully, physically, with us without limit. He has gone away in a journey, and for whatever reason, he is delaying. He is with us in his promise, and through his promised means, the Lord's Supper, his word and sacrament. But a promise requires faith, and we long for faith to be turned into sight. The new day of his full presence is coming, and when it does, when he comes, our faith will become sight. We will see him finally and completely. So while we live here confident of his promises, We will watch for the joy of his return. Then and only then will we know his full presence among us in the world that belongs to him. Because Jesus has loved us, we love him. And because we love Jesus, we long for his return. It's as simple as that. Amen.